Like, children need their fathers.
There's a big movement in the US.
Exactly.
Mm. Mom, single moms by choice.
Single mom by choice. Because feminism brought in the men are the bad people, they're the bad guys. And if we can remove men, if we can remove patriarchy, everything will be fine. Mm. And that's not true.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. Six South African male medical doctors on a mission to change the way in which we perceive healthcare. My name is Sohail Essa, and joined with me in the studio is our lovely guest, Sipe Sihle Mokwana. Everybody say hello to Sihle. I'm sure you guys have seen Sihle. She's quite popular on social media. Today, we're excited to have her in the studio to talk to us gents about life, men and women, and a little bit of medical stuff, which we probably will start with. So, as always, we go to Vish to tell us about his interesting case for the week. Vish, tell us what happened this week.
So, it actually wasn't a case from this week, but just on the topic of discussions for today.
Yeah.
Obviously, as you guys know, I'm a urology registrar, but before, well, on my journey here, I was in general surgery. And I recall this, a patient I was called to the emergency department to see, who's actually a correctional facility patient that was brought in with generalized abdominal pains.
So correctional facility patient, but he's a prisoner.
colloquial
term. Jailbird.
Yeah.
But yeah, essentially, they called me, I mean, I was actually in theater at the time, but the ED doctor had called me saying, well, they just sent me an x-ray, abdominal x-ray, and what looked to have been a phone or some electronic device
that inside his abdomen.
That was inside the patient's abdomen. So, I mean,
like
upon...
top or bottom, swallowed it or...
No, so so on history then, you know, obviously once you interact with the patient, examine them, it came out that they actually tried smuggling a phone in, and the phone was wrapped in a plastic and put up the patient's anus.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
I just want to know, what phone was it?
But it can be, you can do it probably if it's like those Tilili phones.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
it wasn't a Tilili. It was like, no, so you
from
know,
the look in this man's face, it was not a Tilili.
So, you know, Samsung used to generally, their flagship phones generally were smaller than their non flagship phones. Yes. For some reason, the non flagship phones were generally like bigger. But anyways, when we took him to theater, we had to obviously open the abdomen. He was peritonitic, but it was a bit difficult to remove the actual phone because it was quite low down in the pelvis. Okay. Obviously, it was still in the rectum. But yeah, I mean, we eventually obviously got it out.
Was it like this size?
Yeah, probably.
And you're saying they shoved it like... Because I thought that maybe he swallowed it, but also swallowing wouldn't make sense because
you can't
the
swallow
esophagus
a phone.
Is too...
You cannot swallow
it. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously swallowing, I mean, it would have to go past the esophagus, through the pylorus in the stomach, but it wouldn't fit through there.
Yeah, it would.
So,
what I understand, my little bit of understanding from watching things about jail is that these guys who actually are the mules, they actually, like, get abused in jail.
Yeah, definitely. It was probably... Yeah. It was... I'm sure it wasn't even for him. It was probably someone else.
Or his boss.
Or for his man.
His daughter.
Yeah.
So he was probably the vafy in that situation.
So you guys don't think it was voluntarily like that he wanted
no,
his
own phone.
I can't imagine
it is quite common, actually. Yeah. When I was a student, we had a similar case. And then that time I was rotating through emergency. And then the emergency doctor saw the x-ray and saw the phone. So he goes to the patient and he's like, what's your cell number? And you should have seen the way that guy is.
No, that's not that.
And he was like, no, what's your number?
But Dr. Vishen, do you think when you were taking the phone out or when you examined him, because I believe that these guys, and it's not spoken about in jail or in prison, or they don't confess it, that they actually get raped in prison and prime the anus to be able to fit these things. So do you feel like,
Lord.
Do you think like maybe when it came out, it came out easy? Was the anus wrecked already?
So again, obviously, I mean, the actual bowel. It's large intestine at that point where it's rectum.
But so how far up was it? It was still in the rectum.
Yeah. So when obviously through that when we took the patient to theater, because it's so low down, it's very difficult to actually remove the object from there. So we ended up having to maneuver from the bottom as well as the top. But he did have a perforation in the rectum, so that's the reason why we had to take him to the theater.
Guys, don't go to jail.
Just don't go to jail.
Because I've also heard things like someone shoving their fist in someone's anus. So that's why I'm thinking that it
We're
can...
in jail or just in life?
In jail or in life.
No, I've heard like some celebrity stories where one celebrity did it to the other.
Oh, you're talking about recent news now.
Not recent, it's quite a while ago.
Yeah, it's quite a while ago, like maybe a year or so. And then they said that it was a homosexual relationship.
Yeah.
So they said that there was abuse in the relationship and one of the guys used to shove his
fist.
A whole fist, huh?
Probably against other
But look,
guys.
I think a phone actually is...
So I'm thinking that...
Phone, because of the actual edges, I think it's probably
because of the edges.
But wait, now the fist, if a fist goes in, it's at least going this deep, right? And the rectum is probably about this size until you get the other.
Now you're going into large bowel.
Sigmoid colon.
So what are you coming out with there when you...
Oh my goodness.
We don't even want to know.
These people generally prime their bowel. So they take... it's like... If you do a colonoscopy, you have to do bowel prep, know as well, before.
Yeah, so like bowel prep is like, it just cleans you out. It's like a laxative that just
And it's common
out.
In homosexual relationships with men because when they get sexually active, they have to
you gotta keep it squeaky
clean.
So
I see a lot of tweets from gay men saying that, you know, I prepped the whole week and then this guy... he cancelled on the day. So then now I have to find someone else quickly because I didn't do all of this cleaning for nothing. That's how I knew that they have to do that regularly.
So much admin just to have sex, huh?
I mean, for me, sitting as we're talking about this now, that makes me think that, like, obviously, if you need to go through so much of admin, preparing yourself, man, I mean, this thing is not natural.
Yeah, no, definitely. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of the many signs that this thing is not natural because...
So you're talking about homosexual relationships or sodomy, like anal sex?
Yeah, because it happens in homosexual relationships.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, also in non-homosexual
relationships. It also happens in non-homosexual
relationships. You don't know.
Oh, shame.
Yes,
it also happens in heterosexual relationships.
Yes, it does happen.
Yeah. Sometimes even the opposite way. Like the woman is...
The pegging.
You're familiar with these terms.
Yeah, I know, but it's just that I didn't think of it in this moment.
Yeah.
But yes, it just says a lot about how it's unnatural because they just have to... You have to go against what is natural to do something that is...
Yeah. You know, you can't just freeball it. And
yeah, you can, but it's just...
But it's just not healthy as well.
I'm sure it's not, ne?
No, it's risky.
To have feces in the...
It's E. coli.
It's infection.
E.
coli.
But look, the thing is, even if you do...
This episode's definitely getting us cancelled. If no other episode got us cancelled... start off with, sodomy is wrong, you're going to hell.
Colon prep is not... the thing is, your gut has a lot of bacteria in it.
Yeah.
Good bacteria. The only time when it becomes a problem is when you have excess of a certain bacteria or deficiency in certain bacteria. So even doing like recurrent like laxatives and colon preps
it's
and
not
stuff.
Good.
It's not good either, you know?
Okay.
I mean, it's not good for your kidneys either.
Okay.
Yes.
But apart from that, you're not clearing actual bacteria. You're just cleaning feces.
Just no feces. Yeah.
So in terms of doing a colonoscopy, it's just so that your vision is good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you can see
everything.
Can
see.
That's what we're doing. Thing, putting the camera in there, you can look around and look for specifically like a certain disease or pathology inside. Mm. So that's why we do it as medical professionals.
Also, you can't shove a scope against.
Yeah.
By the way, maybe we can bring like a good aspect to this. If you're over the age of 50 to 55, get a colonoscopy done and screen for colon cancer. Because there's a lot of colon cancer.
Especially with the diet and stuff that we're exposed to
now.
Yeah.
And we're seeing colon cancer even younger and younger now. So please, your dad, your uncle, Sihle, please, they need to go and get checked. you know, get their colonoscopies done.
So
one thing I actually wanted to bring up now that we're talking about this was stats that I was seeing.
Yeah, so interesting study for the week.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Was violence, so interpersonal violence, or what we call GBV, which I don't think GBV is a term that covers what...
Gender-based violence, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it can be... I don't think the term is good enough to describe violence amongst relationships. I think interpersonal violence is better.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized, and I was wondering why this is and how it relates to GBV as we understand it in South Africa, is that heterosexual relationships, so between a man and a woman, with on average, violence between a man and a woman is about 29%, I lie, 29%.
Okay.
And then in homosexual relationships with gay men...
Just specifically gay men, not lesbian relationships. Okay.
Gay men is 26%. So 29% men and women, 26% men. But lesbians, women, 44%.
What?
There's 44% of lesbian relationships.
I read something about this quite some time ago.
So it's sort of like suggesting that lesbian relationships, there's more violence between women.
Interpersonal violence in those relationships.
Mm.
And why do you think that is? Did they give any hypotheses as to why?
I think Sifa needs to tell us why she thinks that is.
But yeah, let's all just give an opinion of why you think.
What do you think?
Why
do I think?
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head. Have you seen what an average lesbian looks like?
I see. You are the one getting us cancelled.
Come on, I had to say it first. I know we're all thinking it. Like, okay,
you see,
no,
this
look,
is
jokes
call
aside,
us misogyny,
but I mean,
patriarchy.
I think also one of the things that people forget when we talk about gender-based violence, right? Men generally in relationships will hit women, right?
Yes.
But then women abuse children more than men abuse children. That's a known stat.
That's
so it's you fight with people that you have power over. You generally exert your violence over people you have power over, not people who you are fearful of or who are more superior in strength or whatever.
Yes.
When it comes to a woman-woman relationship, I don't have many lesbian friends. I don't know any people... personally, that are close to me that are in those types of relationships to know what those relationships are like.
Yes.
But I would assume there's a lot of macho-ness in that relationship this is honestly just speculation, but like gay men, for the most part, are very sensitive in their feelings and their emotions. They'll maybe
talk
things out.
They're aware of their feelings.
They're aware, in touch with themselves personally. Maybe a little bit more in their personalities akin to women, whereas lesbian women are more akin to butch men.
Maybe there usually is this one that takes the man role.
So one takes upon the masculine role, and one takes upon like a feminine role.
But don't you think that also exists even in homosexual relationships with men and men?
One takes on the woman, one is the woman, and one is the man.
Possibly,
one has to bend and one has to send. You know what I mean? Like there has to be a... There has to be a papi and a...
But biologically, obviously with lesbians, they're both female, and one is obviously a lot more butch, whereas in men, biologically, they're both masculine. I mean, they both aren't... They both have men... Well, male bones, muscles. It's something it's a bit more...
What do you think?
What's your thoughts, Sisha?
Possibly.
I think...
Before you answer, do you have any lesbian friends or
people that you know
personally? Okay.
No. But I do know a couple of people that are lesbian, but I don't have like close relationships with them. I think it's just emotions. I mean, women are emotional, so you have two women, both are emotional. Normally with heterosexual relationships, the man is the one that is less emotional. So there's a balance in emotions and, you can sort of regulate. You're able to regulate your partner's emotion like, oh, calm down, we're not fighting, you know. But then with women, everyone is acting on their feelings. Everyone is angry, so I'm going to act on it. And then you're thinking, I'm also angry, so I'm going to act on it, and I'm going to throw something at you, and you're going to throw something at me. So you go at each other.
Hit this one on the head, huh?
Makes sense. Yeah.
Because I can tell you, there are three men here who live with women. And I can tell you, sometimes in an argument, you're like, this doesn't need to escalate the way it's escalated.
Actually, let's just kill this off.
Yeah.
Oh, something off camera. Yeah. No,
we have to talk about it.
I grew up, we had always had a lot of dogs at home. Mm. Okay. We sort of raised pit bulls at home. There were always like at least 10 pit bulls in the yard.
Now you're comparing. Okay,
no,
carry
man.
On. You're digging yourself.
Yeah.
Let me explain to you what. Yeah. And it's sort of what she's saying is that the females would always come and bite the males. If the guy is just dossing, the female will come and bite and play with him and he'll just go, rah, you know, and leave him. But then she'll keep coming, even when they're trying to mate.
Yeah.
He would come, you know, humbly and try and get
humbly.
Humbly.
Yeah,
humbly.
Try and jump on the female. And she'd keep like biting him and keep biting him until she's doing it too much. Then he would go and grab her at the throat.
Yes.
And then he's like, and then he gets off. Yeah. And then she's like, and she runs away.
I think that's something that's not discussed a lot in heterosexual relationships, that you think that a man just woke up and decided to slap his wife. And we're not aware of the fact that some of it is retaliation. Like you are saying, hey, lady, please stop. If you keep hitting me, I'm going to hit you back.
It's too
you
much.
Know? So I think because women know that you're not as strong physically as men are, so you can throw whatever you want at him. You can slap him around. You can do whatever. And then the minute he slaps you once, it's something big,
it's a big
because
thing,
of the power that he has. So I can hit you like this. And you wouldn't really have a mark or feel anything.
Yeah.
But you do it to me and it's a different story.
It's a big thing.
So I think those are, it's very evident in homosexual relationships with women that.
So imagine two women
now
the emotional aspect is a big high.
Look, we can't deny there are biological differences between men and women. This something that we as medical professionals have to accept. I know the world is moving in a direction where they say, fluidity exists in sex, gender, everything, but there are certain biological characteristics that are built into every every gene, every cell that we have. We have chromosomes that tell us certain things. And particularly, I think it plays out in our hormone profiles. Mm. Men, their main hormone is testosterone. It's one hormone that controls our thought process, our anger, our lust, our passion, our drive, everything. With women, it's a bit more complicated, and it's necessary for the survival of our species to have a cycle every month, to have fluctuations in your hormones, and fluctuations that we know for a fact change your moods, tend to make you temperamental at certain times.
But then again, I'm designed and created to understand your moods and be compassionate
and
patient about it.
But now you've got two women who are just cycling.
Because you know that you shouldn't match my crazy, if I can put it that way. That I'm just feeling it too much. I'm just, so you know that, okay.
Now two women
I'm going
yapping,
to be that calm.
And
so that the other one, so even if you're butch, even if you're female and you're butch, it doesn't mean that inside you're not
you
female and
like
you don't.
Yes, and you don't think like a woman.
Yeah. Exactly. So he can, the woman can appear like they're butch and they're the man in the relationship. But when it comes to emotions and everything that makes you fundamentally a woman, it's not going to,
the hormone profile, essentially.
Have you guys seen?
But I suppose also, like, I mean, I'm sure you guys can all relate in the sense of, you might think something is a small thing and can look past it. It just turns out it just can't be the same.
It goes from this to that.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's the big issue?
And it's just like, you don't understand
actually,
why.
Just keep
because
quiet.
Because we sometimes it's just better
just
to
leave
just
it.
Keep quiet.
Just leave it.
And not say anything. And just accept that we are different.
But
and
I think we also have a responsibility as men to understand our partners when that happens and support them. Because sometimes
I think it's
you
more
need to ask your partner,
more than
when you're coming with this thing,
responding.
Do you want me to answer you or do you want me to listen to you?
Yeah. Mm.
Yes.
No, definitely.
Because
men
are very solution-driven. We want to give solutions. And women are more in touch with their emotions and want to feel emotionally heard. And taken care of emotionally.
Yeah.
So I feel like their needs are different to what we... So if Brendan comes to me with a problem and I give him a solution, he says, thank you, my friend. That's what I need.
Yeah. Mm.
But if I go to him, if my wife comes to me...
hesitated.
I have to think like, is this a thing she wants me to help her with, like solution-wise? Or just, do I need to listen and say, okay, it's going to be fine?
But I think also, as much as men need to understand and you have the responsibility to understand, women also have to have a responsibility to to understand and understand themselves, and also to regulate their own emotions. Because, for example, emotional intelligence is not something that is only male or only female. Every human being should have emotional intelligence.
100%.
So for me personally, I don't feel like just because I'm an emotional human being and I'm because I'm a woman, it gives me the right to just...
Yes.
Do you understand? Yes. So it's a partnership. You, the same way you have to understand is the same way I have to communicate better. I have to sometimes sit back and say, okay, I'm upset. Let me first think. Before I send him the text, before I say something, let me first wait it out. You know, before I say something. So we women also have a responsibility to be emotionally intelligent and to understand yourself and work with your partner.
That's true.
You know, it doesn't mean that men are not emotional and they don't feel anything. It's not always about us. You know, sometimes we have to listen to our partners and what they want and what's going on.
100%.
I think there's that a dangerous there's a dangerous thing coming up. I've seen a lot of videos where women, and I would think that they're not aware, I don't know what it is, that women wanting to hit men, but I've seen a lot of videos, especially in America, where the woman hits the guy and the guy knocks her out. But then when the cops arrive, the cops are like, you hit him first. We're not taking him to jail. He was defending himself. And I think that's dangerous because it's going to lead to much more violence. It's going to lead to more GBV. And I mean, what's the root of this? Because the police is saying you hit him first. So why are you hitting the guy? The problem is that I have is that woman, I mean, like she said, if she hits me, I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not going to have much impact.
But now men are taking it as if you hit me, you want to be a man more, so I'm hitting you down. And then there's no consequences.
Look, I think you get definitely, because this is a touchy topic, and I think you do get extremes on both ends.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Yes.
There are definitely very valid cases of domestic abuse.
Yes.
Where a man has suffered some issues probably in his past, and now he wants to exert power over his partner. So she talks back to him and he starts smacking her. And he, you know, is irritated with her for something that she did, something she wore or something she said or someone she spoke to. And then he abuses her, whether physically, emotionally, verbally.
We need to call that out and speak against
And that definitely exists, right?
Yeah.
I think that definitely exists. And possibly for a long time that has existed. But I do think there is something to be said about the unheard, abused men in relationships who can't talk about it. There are cases, and I don't have stats to back this, but there are definitely enough cases that we have seen or we know of men who are in abusive relationships but felt too ashamed because they can't go to their friends and tell their friends about the fact that they're being abused. They definitely can't tell their father or their grandfather because their grandfather will say, go beat up, like put your woman in her place kind of thing. And then you have this kind of stigma attached to it. So you can't seek help. I mean, I've had cases. I remember one very distinct case when I was working in Edenvale. There was a guy whose girlfriend, they obviously had some issues back and forth. She was very abusive towards him in the relationship. And it came to a point where he left her and she had a vendetta to get back against him. Proper vendetta to get back against him. So she said, I'm leaving the country, but you're going to see. I'm going to get you. You send him texts and everything. So he was worried, but he thought, like, she's just being crazy. You know, she's just making, like, empty threats.
I think you told me.
So she hired four guys. He's sitting in his car one day. She hired four guys. They rock up. They knew where he was working or whatever. He's like a handyman or electrician, some sort of tradesman. They hijacked him in his car. He thought it was a hijacking. They literally just took him to a lake. They opened his toolbox, took out a hammer, and penetrated him with a hammer. They, you know, shoved objects into him. They kicked him. They beat him. And they told him, this is who we're doing this for. So instead of her actually physically doing it herself, she went to the extent of getting someone else. And this guy came in crying and he was like, I don't want to be here. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to, like, I can't even believe I'm like here doing this. His mother forced him to do that because they couldn't open a case. They needed a J88 report so that they could go open a case. And this guy was shattered by this whole experience. And he goes to the police and the police are laughing at him. The police are like, come on, you can't be serious. Can't be serious.
So what...
First, even when he was talking about how she abused him in the relationship, physically abused him, the police laughed it off. So, you know, I do hear, you know, women saying that they also receive that kind of treatment at times at police stations or with police officers.
A lot of the times.
They get dismissed and things like that. But we can't also just negate the fact that sometimes this is happening to men as well. And men, in this situation, I asked him, like, why did you stay so long or whatever? And he said, like, I felt trapped. I love this woman. But in the same way as, you know, when you're in an abusive relationship with a man, you feel like, oh, they keep apologizing. It's that same type of behavior, even with a woman. And so that can occur.
So, Sihle, what femininity is this now? Did you say this is toxic? This is...
I think before you answer that question, Sihle, I'm sure a lot of people have seen you online, seen you on social media, but I'm sure there are also some people out there that are wondering, who is Sipe Sihle Ngokwana? So tell us just a little bit before we go delve deeper, because I'm sure all of us want to talk more about these topics. But tell us just a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you grew up, what you're doing right now, what made you start like chatting about these things online.
What's the end goal? What's the aim? Yeah. Are you fixing the country? Are you fixing women?
Okay, my name is Sipe Sihle Ngokwana, but I go by Sihle on social media. I'm 27 years old, not 22, not 20, not 19,
actually,
not 16.
Yeah.
I'm 27. Yeah. I'm a content creator, apparently.
How did that start?
I've always made videos, but on YouTube. So how it started was that I would always have conversations with my friends and people would say, no, people need to hear this. Like, you know, people need to hear this type of stuff.
You had interesting opinions.
Sounds like how we started.
Yes. So then my friend said, oh, you should have a YouTube channel or whatever. So that's when I started the YouTube channel, I think in 2021. Yeah, so that's how it started. And then I lost that channel because I couldn't log into it, etc. So I was like, let me just wait it out and see if maybe this is something I'm going to continue doing or not. But then throughout that time, I couldn't, like, I wasn't at peace with the fact that I wasn't making content. You know, I wasn't at peace. I was like, I should be doing this thing. So I shouldn't be discouraged by the fact that I lost that account. Let me try again.
Yeah.
So one of the guys that I work with said, you know, you should start with TikTok. People love to listen to stuff on TikTok. They would love your content. So that's how I got into TikTok, which is this year, beginning of this year. So that's basically all that I'm doing now. I'm full on content creating.
On TikTok.
Not on TikTok, on YouTube as well.
Oh, on YouTube as well.
It's TikTok, YouTube.
And what kind of things do you talk about on your channel? And
it's a lot. Like I talk about mental health. I talk about, but mainly it's relationships between men and women, things that affect women, things that affect men, social issues basically. Social media. I talk a lot about social media and its impact on our youth. So anything that affects people in general, money. The relationships that people have with money, the things that people do for money. It's very broad, but it's mainly like societal issues and anything that's happening in society.
I'm sure a lot of people, because yesterday for the first time I went on your TikTok while I was at work, just scrolling to see, and I read a lot of the comments, and a lot of people hate you. I just want you to know that.
For sure.
A lot of people don't like what you're saying. And one of the comments I found was quite funny. They said, what makes you an expert on all of this?
Yeah.
So what makes you an expert on all of this, Sihle?
Life makes me an expert. I don't need to go to school. I don't need a degree to tell me what I see. Like you,
perfect.
Human behavior doesn't need degrees. If you're living with people and you're a human being, you can see the patterns of people in society. So what I did was that when I was young, I was very conscious, if I can put it that way, like, you know. So I was always observing people and I was like, okay, there's these girls that I know from around. They're always, you know, going out to clubs and this and this and this. And this is where they are now. This is the result of their behavior.
Uh-huh.
This is how it started. They were always with girls that spoke about this and this and this. So I was very observant of the people around me, old, young, male, female. I was constantly observing that type of behavior. So that's why now
specifically men, women, that type of
men,
thing was
women,
your interest.
Yeah. Like? Yes, men, women, the things that we do, why we think the way that we think, the influences, you know, that we come across. So when I started to speak, it wasn't, I just didn't just wake up and be like, okay, guys, this is what I think. It's years and years of observing. Yes. So that's why it sounds like I'm an expert and people can agree that what I'm saying is right because it's reality. Like these are the things that we live with.
Without you having like any, I don't know, and what would you study or whatever? Gender studies? I don't know.
Yeah, you don't need gender studies to tell you that if you're going to date blessers and what, this is where you're going to end up.
Like 100%.
Why do you need to be told in a university that those are the consequences that you're going to face?
And tell me, in terms of like your work or studying, what was that like? What experience did you have in the work field and...
Yeah, because when I was in high school, I was in a technical high school, so everything was about machines. I didn't
anything that has to... You can change a tire in the car.
No, but I know how it works, but I can't do it.
Yeah,
so I went to a technical high school and I did mechanical engineering. And then even when I wanted to further my studies, I wanted to go more into aviation, technical vibes.
Mm. Okay, so do you still work in that or you?
No, I don't.
So now you're full on just doing content creation?
Yeah, now I do full on content creation because I realized that that's something I can do, but that's not something I'm passionate about. Like, that's not something
so you're passionate.
I care about.
So then my last question before we carry on with this is, so what's the aim? What do you want to achieve? What would for you be the end goal for your content creation, the message that you want to put out? What would you like to see in the world?
I think I just want to encourage people to be independent thinkers, people to speak the truth, people to not follow the crowd and not abandon what your brain is telling you and what you know is true just because you want to fit in and you want, you know, everyone to agree with you, you know. So I think before I came on social media, I was always just feeling like, am I the only one that thinks this way? Like, am I the only one that sees what's going on? Like, why is no one saying anything about these things? And why is no one approaching it in bluntness that, like, guys, it is what it is. It's not up for debate, you know.
Yes.
I think that's what I'm trying to tell people that are also like me, that the things that you're thinking are right, they are normal, and that is the actual truth. You don't have to doubt what you're thinking, and we need to normalize the truth being in our society and the truth being spoken without being criticized and, you know, being bullied and things like that. So I'm just trying to normalize things.
I know why you smiled, I think I know why you smiled when you said bullied, because when I look at the comments, I see that a lot of women hate you.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm not going to mention which guest, but one of our guests on our previous podcast was a woman.
Yeah.
Specifically was like, I don't like Sihle, and you must ask her this
yes,
question because I want to
sure.
know what she thinks about this. Why do you think men like you and women don't? Just bluntly. Why do you think men like you and women don't?
Okay, we did a study when I went to, I was speaking on Al Jazeera. They gave us
We're speaking on Al Jazeera. Wow. Yeah, what are we chatting to them about?
We're talking about feminism and
the
ideological gap between men and women, the things that we believe and the way that we think being so different. So in that study, they said that a lot of men are very conservative. They're very traditional men, women. This is what men should be doing. This is what women should be doing. Realistic, everything, reality, whatever you see in reality, men are standing for that. And then women are more liberal, that it can be, you can look at something like this, but then say that it's something else. Like, you know, you're allowed to interpret it in whatever way that you want.
I feel
who's to tell you that it's supposed to be like this? You know?
Yes.
So they said that women are more, even young, even girls that are 13, they are more liberal, and boys that are 13 are more conservative. So I think men in their nature are not very easily influenced. Like, you can't tell them something without them saying, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
Or them wanting to think about it first before they take it. So women are very impressionable. Mm-hmm. You just work on their emotions and be like, yeah, men hate you. And they're like, yes, that's the truth. That's it. You know, so
you see like a group of women, a female-only talk or whatever. Yes, queen.
Yes, you have to work on their emotions in order to make them believe something.
Whereas I think with men, I think it's more you got to prove to us what you're saying.
Yes, you have
it's
to
not,
prove
we're not
it.
Just going
to
clap for you because it's you said like, some a nice catchphrase yes, or whatever. You've got to tell us why.
If you're trying to sell me something, you're going to have much more difficult selling it to me than you
yes,
might to a lady.
Woman,
true,
yes.
And there was a, I can't remember the name, but maybe you can find. There was a very famous guy in America who was involved in marketing. And he realized somewhere in the 1940s that it was easier to market to women than
for
to
sure.
men. You could make
for
more
sure.
money selling things to women than
sure.
to men.
Yeah.
So if you look at the consumerist market, it's all governed by women.
Yeah.
Women decide how much prices are based on how much they're willing to pay for things.
Yeah.
And through expert marketing, they are able to challenge your emotions to get you to buy certain things
for sure.
and not buy other things.
Yeah. For
sure. And they put pressure on women. And that's why in general, I'm saying in general, there are far more women who are materialistic than men.
Yeah.
And there are far more women that are consumerist, part of like a consumerist society than men.
Yeah.
Men may like a few nice things in their life, but women want all of the nice
yeah.
things.
There was even the study when they were back in the days, this was in the West, they were trying to sell cigarettes to women. So they asked, because at that time women didn't smoke, like it was very taboo for women to smoke. So they wanted to bring this into the market that we want to sell cigarettes to women. So then this one guy that was an expert psychiatrist or something like that, he said that if they want to sell cigarettes to women and get women to smoke, they need to tell them that men don't want it. So you need to sell it as rebellion, like, you must smoke because men say that this is, he doesn't want it. And this is them trying to, what do they call
control
it, suppress
you,
control you, exactly.
Yeah.
So in order to show them that you're free, you do whatever you want, smoke
woman.
Cigarettes, did it not sell?
Yes.
Wow.
And that's how they work into the emotions that you have to tell them that this thing is they're trying to imprison you, they're trying to suppress you. So in order for you to be free, do this, buy this, get involved with these type of men.
Why is it, I'm just, what this example you're bringing up, why is it that majority of women who are these liberal and like, I can do this, I can smoke, I can, you
dress
know,
like
hit
this.
A man, I can dress like this, I can put on, you know, this BBL and get these blesses.
Yeah.
Why do they not see, even from your example, that they're just being manipulated by men?
Yes, for sure.
Because even those, when they started smoking and advertising to women, that it was men who wanted to sell the cigarettes and they manipulated the woman.
Yeah. Exactly.
So why is it that they don't see that men are just manipulating you? These blesses are manipulating you. These slay queens...
Yeah.
Or prostitutes masquerading as slay queens. They're being manipulated by men.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I followed you now for about 2 months. And I'm not just, I mean, everyone says men like you, so I'm probably just going to be one of them.
Yeah.
But I genuinely think if there can be more women like Sihle, we'll save women in this country.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And probably on a wider scale in the world, women will start loving themselves again.
Yeah, without it being attached to a man or will a man like this if I do it? If he won't like it, then I'm going to do it.
Exactly.
So I think it's also that whole idea that we grew up knowing that we're victims and we're the oppressed and we need to be empowered and the oppressors are the men.
Mm.
So if you want to sell me anything or if you want to get me to do something, tell me that I would be rebelling against men and men would not like that. So it's like now we're trying to compensate that, okay, since men have since men have done this to us, these are the necessary steps that we have to take in order to be free from the bondage of men.
Mm.
So that's why everything that we do now, if a man says, I will never be with a girl that's been with blesses, where are the blesses at? I want to be there. I want to be at the clubs because men say they don't like it. Because who are you to tell me that you don't like that?
Don't like
so then
too.
Now what you don't realize that you're doing it to yourself. So if I'm going to go and date blesses, that's my body that's going to be put on the line. That's my life that's on the line, not yours.
Yeah.
So whether you said you like it or not, it doesn't really affect you if I do it.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's why I'm trying, on my social media, I'm trying to tell women that don't have men in your brains whenever you think you want to do something.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, you're the one that's going to suffer.
Yeah.
So I have to make decisions about my body because I'm the one that's going to be affected. So if I want to dress in this way, I must know that, okay, this is how this wearing short skirts presents me to men and I don't like how it does that. So I'm going to dress in a specific way because I want a good man to be attracted to me. Don't see it as a, oh, men don't like it, so I'm going to do it and I'm going to show them that they can't tell me what to do, because our grandparents couldn't do it and that was in the 80s.
Ah, I see.
So we're the new generation and we're going to do it differently.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, because, you know, even within, so I'm Muslim, and so there's a lot of like arguments about the hijab, right?
Yes.
And the way, and people think that it's like men force women to do that.
Yeah.
No, God tells you to do that, not me.
Okay.
And God, our belief is that God does that for a specific reason, because God knows how men are designed and how
for
women
sure.
are designed. Men are designed with lust in their
visual
minds.
Human
like
beings.
The littlest, all of us can attest. Men, sorry, not maybe not you, Sitle, but all of us can attest that the littlest of skin can get us aroused. And that's just a fact. That's just how we
are
wired.
That's a challenge as a man you go through every day.
And so God says in the Quran to the men first, he says, lower your gaze. Don't look at women. And then he tells women, cover up. So both, he's telling both of you, protect yourselves against your own, what I know is your weakness.
For sure.
So by you covering up, people think it's like, you are not empowered.
Yeah.
But I think, like, what better way to get to actually be respected in society if you know men are going to look at you with lust.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you say, the most feminist man or whatever, I respect you. If you're wearing a low-cut top, he's looking at your boobs.
Yeah.
Mm. He's going to enjoy that view. Like, regardless of what you
but
say.
But they'll say
even
that
if
I'm
you
not
say,
doing it for the man. They'll say,
they'll say that, no, and definitely. I agree. Some women would genuinely probably feel confident or whatever, but why do you feel confident? Why do you feel sexy? What does that mean? It means that you are sexually appealing to men.
Yeah.
So you think you are free and liberated by wearing a short skirt or low-cut top or exposing yourself in that way.
Yeah.
But what you are actually doing is you are just, again, playing into the hands of men.
For sure.
And so by actually covering up, I feel like you are actually more empowered, because men will take you more seriously.
Yeah.
Mm. Now you are forced to listen to me as a human, because men, the reality is, they've done studies where there's a specific portion of the brain that literally lights up. I think it's your amygdala.
Yes,
your amygdala lights up when you get excited or whatever. When a man looks at a woman who's half naked or whatever, that portion of the brain completely just lights up, right? That lights up. When a woman is covered, that portion of the brain does not light up when he looks at a woman. And so a man can then actually acknowledge what you're saying in a specific work environment or whatever. A man can, for example, if a Muslim man wants to go get married, he meets a woman, there's a chaperone there. This is the traditional way. I'm not even saying I did this, but like the proper way is he goes, he meets her, they have a communicate, they talk about life, they ask what, like, the most deepest questions, but it's all lust is completely removed.
Yeah.
So you don't have that aspect in the, it's not about how you look or what I'm getting out of you physically. It's let's talk. Let's actually, you know, get to know each other better without that physical aspect of it.
Yeah. I've also seen like tweets from girls that were saying, I wonder why I'm always like, desired, but never loved all the way through.
Yes.
And I'm like, you're desired because you presented yourself to be desired only to that level, not to go, like, they don't need to go deep, because you just gave them what is enough for them to just look and be like, oh, I want that. But you didn't give them a reason to go deeper. So now everyone is shocked. Everyone is pushing this, oh, we'll wear whatever we want. We'll do OnlyFans. We'll pose in this way and do that. And then now we wonder, oh, but why do men never take me seriously? Mm. Why do men only just see me like as a body? Because that's how you present yourself.
Exactly.
So the other thing with me is that I know that, okay, maybe I don't seem desirable on social media when I make my videos, because it's just my face and I never even put makeup or anything like that. But I love the fact that men see my brain before they even see what I look like, because I present myself in that way. And I use my social media to present a human being that has a mind. Mm. So when men see me, they see that. So if you're going to go on social media and you're going to push your cleavage and you're gonna, then men are gonna see that. Like, what
and
do you say?
You're making it so much easier for men, because I can assure you, compared, okay, I'm not saying I think you're very good looking, Sihle. I said I've been following you for the past 2 months. But what I'm saying is that I'm sure that compared to someone whose boobs are always out on TikTok and all of that, you probably have less DMs from guys than what they are getting.
And because probably the way in which they approach you may be more respectful.
For yes. sure.
If
for
they
sure.
do approach you, it's more for like, sure. listen, I like the way you think. Yes.
I would like to get you this comment or something.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I want to get to know you more because I see your brain. Then with them, it's like, can you come over to my house or yeah. can we link up?
Midnight, and then after I'll that, send you an Uber at midnight.
Exactly. And then it's like, oh, can you send me your picture? Can I get your picture?
You see,
things I like that. I want some nudes, like, you know.
So as much as you can say that you're not doing it for men, but you must understand that what you're doing has consequences and men will respond to it.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, we're all men now and we're responsible men now, but we were young boys at one stage, right? We all stayed at Res together. We all shared a lot of experiences.
Sure, I thought you were going to say shared.
No.
Oh,
yeah, listen.
My experiences. Stood still there.
And I think if we go back and we look at those times of our life when we were young men coming out, there's genuinely like a sense of we knew who was easy targets.
Yeah.
We knew there were women who were like, I'm sexually free or liberated.
Yeah.
And they thought that somehow was like independent or somehow they were somehow winning in that situation. But it's we were all like fist bumping ourselves at the in the dining room, yeah. like, hey.
But I can tell you that the girl who kept herself modest, conservative, as much as he might have been easy to go approach the one who's easy, he would come and he's nervous and scared.
Exactly.
I like this girl so much. I don't know what to say to her because she keeps herself in a respectful way, you know. For but sure. I also want to call out men in South Africa who perpetuate this because, like I said, I believe that men a lot manipulate these type of women. There's this podcast, I don't know what's it called, but this boy's name is Sino. Do you know that? Sino Parisi or Pariso or something.
Okay, what does he do on his podcast?
He basically just has girls on there twerking, having like makeup and wigs, and he's just talking about baddies and you must just chow baddies, just chow.
Oh, I think I've seen this and one. A couple of guys, it's like two guys
and there's always girls
and talking
here.
About how they get taken home after clubs and how yes. they like hang out at clubs just to attract men. And look, I think Sihle, for a lot of these
that
women,
guy's disgusting, man.
They probably have deep-seated abandonment issues.
Yeah, for sure.
They're missing something in their life, or they're genuinely looking for a way to get up, climb the ladder financially, and they're not willing to take that hard. Because the difference between men and women, I feel like currently in our society and maybe throughout time, is that men have always honorably taken the task of, if I need to level up, I can't sell my body. Yeah, that's just not an option for us.
Yeah.
It's not like you can say, okay, I need an extra 10K this month. I'm going to go to Konka and shake my ass. It's not going to work for us. Yeah. You know what I mean? But a woman always has that option because your body is, and you, women hold the key to sex, right?
Yeah.
You hold the power in the relationship. So we don't have that power. The power we have is our status. The only way we get more valuable in society is by increasing our status. Getting more money, getting more accolades, getting whatever it is, accruing a good network.
Yeah.
Those are the things that we can do in order to level up our status. Whereas women have a easier, but not better, easier option of going down that route of just selling your body.
But again, I think it also comes down to like role models.
Yeah.
So for example, if you watch F1 or if you watch rugby or if you watch football, all of these guys who are really successful, I mean at face value, what you might see is exactly what you describe. I mean, they might be an athlete, but you know, otherwise nothing really to offer in terms of like their mind or looks or anything like that. But I mean, they would attract some model that's, you know, so for people who are looking up to people like that, I mean, if you support a certain club or person, a sports person you support, that's now what you feel is the end goal, or you might want to achieve something like that. It's the same way with females think, okay, well, if I look this way, then I can potentially attract someone who is higher in society.
For sure.
Where do you where do you think all this started, man? Because you were speaking, even this whole liberalism of women and open the nipple, or what do you call it?
Free the nipple.
Free the nipple. And, you know, why is it that we can still look back, you know, like 50, 60 years and see how people dressed and be like, some people will be like, yo, I wish I lived during that time.
Yeah.
You know, things were much more modest and the world wasn't as corrupt. And then you still get people who are still like, free the nipple. I know a lot of doctors who are liberal ladies, and but then they post, I'm not a housewife yet. When am I going to be a housewife?
Yeah.
This work is so tough and so forth. So who was driving all of this and what are the good intentions behind it?
Are you saying the whole liberal thing? And
yes,
the
whole
liberalism
liberal,
or feminism? Are you specific?
Let's say
feminism
it, yeah,
it
can
that
fall
led
under
to this?
Feminism.
Was it
as
feminism?
Well.
Okay.
Yeah, because feminism came out as something that wanted to free women from the bondage of men. And so it started off very political and then it became very social and very social media as well. And I think that's, like I said, it's always coming from the point of, okay, you were a victim of some sort and now you have to break free from that, constantly trying to, you know, move away from that and do things differently because how they were done in the past was not that great. But if we can see how life in the past was when people were moderate and they dressed modestly and, you know, certain behaviors were not normalized, the quality of life was very high back then because children would come from two-parent households that have good role models. You'll have your mom that acts like a mom, you know, your mom that can teach you values and your mom that can teach you how to be a girl. So these days we have women that have children, but they're not good role models to their children. And that's why I was saying that even with the baddie culture, yes, they have money, it's flashy, it's lifestyle, money that our parents didn't have, but the quality of life is so low because now you're sleeping with all of these men and you constantly have to cleanse yourself. There was this one girl that I was talking about from that My Body Works For Me.
Yes,
she says she constantly has to cleanse herself because of all of these men that she sleeps with. And for me, that's a very a low quality of life. Like, how are you saying you're living, you're thriving, you're prosperous than the generation back then, but that's your life.
But that's your
you understand?
Life, yeah.
So I think that, yes, they're more liberated. Yes, there's more opportunities for women. There's many ways to make money, but your quality of life is low and it's not doing any justice for the next generation because the generation of children now, these things are no longer things for 25-year-olds. Even 16-year-olds are doing it now. So you don't even need to finish school. Back then, you have to finish school. You have to go to university. Now it's like, nah, you can actually just go into content creation and go into OnlyFans and do it, you know? So I think it's very hard to speak to the young generation because nobody cares about those things anymore because we have normalized all of it. Yes. So I think the goal, for me, feminism is so deep. Like, I don't see it as this thing that, we just want to dress however we want to dress and we hate men. I see it more as it's been a tool that contributed in breaking down family structures because if you act like men are the problem, then it means, that's why things like I can have a child without a father. Because you're eliminating the father and that, it doesn't work.
There's
like, children need their fathers.
There's a big movement in the US.
Exactly. Mm.
Moms,
that you can,
single moms by choice.
Single mom by choice. Because feminism brought in the men are the bad people, they're the bad guys. And if we can remove men, if we can remove patriarchy, everything will be fine. And that's not true. And that's why I was even saying on Panel's podcast that I can credit a lot of the way that I think because I come from a two-parent household. I have a father that taught me values. I have a mother that taught me values. And I saw how they work together. And I saw how, hey, I can be great as a woman, but I need a man because he brings so much balance. Something that my mother could never give. You understand?
By herself.
By herself.
Yeah.
The same thing my dad can never give me by himself. Because you need both of those. So then if you're saying, nope, we don't need these men. We have our own money now. We can do all of these things by ourselves. Then the family structure and humanity, the quality of humans as a whole, is finished.
I think just quickly to go back to like the history lesson that you were sort of alluding to, like they talk about first wave feminism, which was a global sort of phenomenon that started in South Africa. It was like Helen Joseph, Rahima Musa, Ruth First. These women went out to fight for the rights for women to vote, for example, right? Mm. And that's what it really started. Like, we just want those equal rights, right?
Yes, for sure.
It wasn't, they weren't fighting and trying to make arguments about we want equal pay, because we know that that's a farce.
Yeah.
That's proven statistically to be a complete farce.
Not true, yeah.
Women, I can just even just talk about our field. Women in our field, there are a lot of women who, even if they specialize, even if they do their training to further, if their husbands are also doctors, they will be the one who will put their time and effort and work nights or take much more difficult careers where they're going to have to spend more hours at work so that they can make more money. And a woman will say, well, I also want to be a mother, and I want, so I'll work less.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'll earn less. But then it seems to society that we are paying women less for to do the same job, which is not the case.
I mean, being a mother is such a beautiful thing. God has given you the ability to give life to another person through you. Why do you want to take that away and say, no, you just want me to have children and be at home? It's such a beautiful thing. And many women choose that. You know, I'm not saying that women shouldn't choose careers. I mean, choose your career and so forth.
But
you know?
They look down, like they look down on you if you say, "I just want to be at
and
home."
And that's modern. So that's when we come to, like, there was first wave, then there was second wave. Now I think we are third wave or fourth wave, even feminism, where it's now more than just I want to be equal to men. I want more than men.
Yeah.
I want to right the wrongs of the past.
Yes.
And you know, men didn't allow us to vote, so I want more money than a man for the same job, and I want more opportunities than a man.
Yeah.
But it's like, but what are you actually fighting for? Because as a society, you should fight for the benefit of the whole society. And what better way to form a society than to have a man, a woman? Like, we knew this when we were building our societies thousands of years ago.
Mm.
We didn't force the woman to go to war.
No,
we didn't
for sure.
force the woman to do any of that. Back then, no woman was saying, I also want to be a soldier. They were like, hey, you guys go fight.
You go, I'm not going.
You go. Now, comfortably, once they put air conditioners in the workplace, now suddenly women are like, we want that also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when men were fighting and dying on the battlefield to protect their families, no woman was out there with a placard saying, we want war.
Yeah.
No.
And it's actually funny that all of the jobs that women were restricted to, like being a teacher, education, they're still doing the same jobs today.
Yeah.
Like, women, you won't find a lot of women in the mines and all of that.
Yes.
All of the
risky jobs.
Risky jobs. You'll never find them. They're always doing something that is convenient. If I'm sitting in an office, if being a CA means I can sit in my office and I can type and I don't have to do anything risky, then I can do that. But they will never do 100% everything that men do.
That's true.
So now when they fight, they act like, oh, you guys are the ones that are restricting us from doing these things. But you're not choosing it. Now
100%.
You're giving a choice, but you're not choosing it. That's how it shows that with men, there's responsibility. Patriarchy comes with responsibility. When they say men do this, men fight for your country, it's a responsibility. Women want the same things that men have without the responsibility.
Mm.
And 100%. Now that will never make sense, you know?
100%. Yeah. So now we have to sort of close off. So before, I'm going to ask my one last final question. But before I do, Vish, any questions? Brennan, any questions for Sihle? Any comments or anything you wanted to say before we close?
I think it was good to have you on the talk. I don't have any other questions to ask.
For me, I would like to get your opinion on what do you think feminism should be? Or what fights should women be fighting for? Or what battles should they be fighting instead of the ones that we currently are fighting or pushing for?
Yeah. I think women should be encouraged to be themselves more. Like, women should be encouraged to be what women are, because feminism now is sort of like making them want to be men, that we want to work like them, we want to have what they have. But what about you? You're neglecting you. And once women neglect themselves and their nature, and then women, children are also neglected in the same way. So I think women should be taught to be women, like, because there's so much power. We are lacking women in society. We have a lot of men. We have a lot of men that are women as well, but they are men, you know? So we need more women. Yeah. We need people that are going to nurture society, heal society, raise children to be, you know, humans, proper human beings that can lead our countries. And I feel like we don't have that much talk these days, because anything that is woman is looked down upon. You know, anything that has to do with nurturing and wanting to be, to submit to your
feminine,
husband.
Yeah.
And feminine, yes, is looked down upon, and we don't need that anymore.
Mm.
And if we're fighting anything, then it must be the men that are fighting what we are, That's what we should be fighting.
And I think what's sad is that you will find that your biggest opponent would be other women, which it is for you sure. already. And I've seen in history, in everything that women fight for, the biggest opponents are other women.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And I think that holds you guys back so much because men can disagree on something. It's either we moor each other and then we reach common ground, or we reach common ground just, you know, through talking about it.
100%.
Or we agree to disagree and we keep quiet.
100%.
But women fight each other so much, you know, and the fight doesn't end. And I think that's sad because I love what you said in that there's so much beauty in being a woman.
For sure.
And I think society needs to understand that so much more. So from me.
I think finally for me, I have one comment and one question. Sihle, firstly, thank you very much for coming on this podcast. Watching your videos was one thing, but actually having you here in the studio with us and listening to how boldly you speak about these things,
again,
I was like blown away. I must
say,
the way you carry yourself, the opinions, the manner in which you approach the topic. So then my question to you is, what do you think about polygamy and is Tembu?
Wow.
So wait, let me maybe add to what his question is, that our grandparents have been married for 50 years, 60 years, no? But let's not pretend that our grandparents, our grandfathers were not cheating on our grandmothers. They don't talk about it. But Mamkulu, Tatumkulu was out there and she suffered, but they're together. And we respect our grandfather, we respect our grandmother, and we respect the relationship they have now that they're in their 70s.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. So
look, I have an Islamic explanation as to why polygamy is okay and all of that, but I don't want to get
into that.
I want to hear Sihle's opinion on polygamy. Because I'm sure that that's something that a lot of people, just in closing.
Yeah. I think I don't agree with polygamy at all because I think it just promotes lack of self-control with men because it comes off as, well, men, we can't focus on one woman. I've got many needs and I need them to be satisfied, you know. And so polygamy says that you don't need to control yourself, you know. You can just have women to come and satisfy you. And I don't think that us as human beings are not above controlling ourselves and above seeing things differently. So I feel like polygamy is not fair even to us because I can say, okay, sharp, I'm a woman. So polygamy will not, if I decide to have more than one husband, it's going to affect me differently as opposed to a man having, you know, multiple women. So with men, it's like, it looks okay because it doesn't affect them. With me, I'm one woman and I have children to bear and all of those things, so it's going to affect me differently. Yeah. But I don't think that it's okay, especially if we're in a committed relationship. If I'm committed to you, I'm not just committed to you physically, but even emotionally, mentally. So for men to be like, no, I can be at many places at once, it doesn't promote. It's like you're acting like an animal.
Yeah.
And even animals don't even act that way.
And then when you come home and your wife is upset and irritated and hormonal and emotional, now you want to...
Yes, that's not... Because some of them say that you're going to be pregnant for 9 months. Me, what must I do then? Oh, you've got moods. Sometimes you say you don't want, so I need to go to another woman that's going to want. No, you need to control yourself.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, these are your children. This is the same body that is building your family. Mm. So you can't tell me that when it's inconvenient for you, you want to find it somewhere else. That's not fair. Mm. So I think just the whole concept of it is not fair. And I don't believe that men are animals. You can have self-control and you can understand.
It's one of the fruit of the spirit.
Yeah. Yes. And there's also like what you were saying, that maybe some people are not getting married and saying, okay, I'm having five wives, but they're cheating. So that's polygamy in another way. It's just that it's not as official as marrying them. But that's still, to me, whether you're polygamous officially or unofficially, I don't think it's okay. You know, I don't think it's okay. I think men and women can love each other the same way. We have the same responsibility to be committed. And men's needs are not above the relationship's needs and children. Because you can be polygamous, but it's broken families.
It's lust.
It's broken families. Those children have different mothers, the same father. That's broken family. Even if you're married to them, but it's a broken family because you don't get to wake up every day next to your father and see your father loving your mother. Every day you have to know that, oh, this week my dad is not here. He's with his other family. So I've always had the privilege of knowing that my dad is there for me and me alone, me and my siblings. Mm. I'll never have to share him with anyone. Every cough that I have, he's there. So other children don't get to experience that, because you are in Mpumalanga with your other family and then you are in Soweto with your other family. I don't think that encourages the nuclear family that is important.
Ish,
Sihle is fixing the country.
I know, but I'm disappointed. You've broken my heart, Sihle. I'm sad that that's what you think.
To say yes.
But we'll try again next time, Sihle. Thank you for having us. I think we have to have Sihle back on our podcast. Yeah, we have so much more to talk about. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. That is another episode of the Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. My name is Dr. Sohail Essa, signing off.
Dr. Brendan Matthews.
Dr. Vishen Naidu.
And Sihle.
Sihle.
Catch you guys next week. Bye.